Welcome to the Andrea Kay Show. She's blonde, 5'2", and 102 pounds of dynamite in a dress. Here she is, Andrea Kay.
Welcome to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. It is hump day. That means for some people, it is Wings Wednesday. Y'all know I don't eat none of them chicken wings. They just ain't worth the effort and getting that sauce all over your face. I got other things I eat on Wednesdays. But happy Wings Wednesday to those of you who eat the chicken wings. I still hadn't heard from anybody with a good idea as for what Thursday's food specialty item should be. So email me, AndreaKayShow.com, AndreaKayShow.com, with that burning question or anything else that's on your mind, because I want to hear it. I just want to hear from you. I love you guys so much. And if you miss any part of the show, I also want you to download the podcast and be sure to share it with everybody that you know. Listen to it a time or two if you want, and just re-enjoy listening to AK. I've got a little bit of a culture question to ask you guys a little bit later based upon something I saw happening on the side of the road today. So we got that to talk about. We've got chaos across college campuses like I never thought that I would see in my lifetime. Incredibly disturbing. My man, my longest living crush, has weighed in. Of course, I'm talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, so we are going to talk about that. We've got breaking news coming out of the courtroom in Florida with Judge Cannon. She's on a purge fest of unsealing documents. We've got that to get into. So good friend, I reached out to Tom DeBacaro, attorney, will be here to give his legal perspective on that. We're also going to talk about a little legality that was baked into the gross, disgusting foreign aid bill that involves TikTok, and we're going to give you the what I think is some good legal perspective and what many people are not realizing as a part of that story today. So much to get into tonight. You're not going to want to miss any of it. So buckle up, get comfy. If you're sitting on something uncomfortable, go get yourself a cushion and get ready to hang with us the next 2 hours. And by us, I mean this guy. He's with me every night of the week. It is DJ Sesame Broccolini.
I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore.
Just on the note of Wing Wednesday, before we get into the stuff that's obviously much more important than chicken wings. Although chicken wings
nothing's
are important.
More important than food. Food is important, man. Food is important. And when they're trying to poison our food supply and trying to stop me from and trying to get between me and the food that I love, it's important. Go on.
Well, on that note, I mean, it's just so darn expensive now, thanks to Bidenomics and all the wasteful government spending. So really, I miss those days where you got actually good deals on Wing Wednesday. But now, these days, the deals that you get are really what you were paying at normal price just a year ago or 2 years
What's
ago.
What's it
or
a wing now?
I mean, it used to be.
Or do you buy like a dozen at a time?
So no, it could be like 50 cents for a boneless or 75 cents to a dollar for a traditional. But now it's $2 or $2.50.
$2 for a strip? Or a bone?
Yeah, or more.
That's crazy.
I mean, it is crazy. And I don't know how they're doing this, but it feels like the chicken wings.
There ain't enough meat on them things for $2 a piece.
Yes, well, that's the thing. It feels like they're getting smaller, too. It's shrinkflation. They're making the wings smaller, I swear. So this shrinkflate
gate. They're shrinking the birds. Yeah. They're shrinking the poultry.
Shrinkflate gate is not a laughing matter, everybody.
Not when it comes to footage. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's another – they're just too much work for me for too little – it's too much effort for too little outcome. Okay. Mm-hmm. I one of the things I studied in college was industrial engineering applications and efficiency models. Okay. So, there's just not enough efficiency when it comes to eating chicken wings. I loved industrial engineering applications, by the way, super fun. All right, let's move on though. Cause you know, what's fun? What's not fun? I loved college so much. I loved my time at LSU. There was something about pushing myself and stretching myself. When I got to LSU, I had to take remedial math because that's how bad my education had been growing up in terms of math. And yet I got to a place where I was the only kid in class making an A in QBA, quantitative business analysis. College was a very, very precious time to me. It was when I went from getting a scathing, nasty review from my speech class teacher to getting an A on the incredibly moving speech that I gave pro death penalty and pro electric, a chair, electric chair executions. Anyway, true story. I don't know where you stand on pro death penalty and whether or not you like the flip of the switch, but let me tell you, by the time my speech was over with, I think I had some converts, some people that were okay with flipping the switch back in the day. To see what's happening on college campuses, to see these kids, instead of embracing the opportunity that they have to stretch themselves, to grow, to show up at the age of 17 like I was and be a completely different human being at the age of 21 when I graduated, is just such a tremendous opportunity. And to see it wasted, to see these kids show up probably at the age of 17 or 18 as normal human beings, and to see them now roaming college campuses wearing Islamic terror garb and chanting terrorist rants, death to America, from the river to the sea, is so incredibly disturbing to me. I literally had a nightmare last night, Sesame Broccolini, of a terrorist attack involving me in an elevator. These are incredibly, seriously frightening times. And Christopher Wray, FBI Director Christopher Wray, actually went, I don't know when he did this NBC interview with Lester Holt. Lester Holt is only good when he's, to Dateline NBC. Probably takes him 5 minutes to record it somewhere in an NBC studio. Beyond that, I'm not interested in any of his reportage. But he's interviewing Christopher Wray, who says, we don't monitor protest. Did you hear that, Sesame? The FBI does not monitor protest. We have anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah protest happening all over college campuses in this country. And the FBI is admitting they're looking the other way. At the same time in which he also told Lester Holt that they have intelligence that we have a terror attack brewing here that's likely to look like the Moscow terror attack. Now, remember, they predicted that days in advance. And how many people? Hundreds of people were I think over 180 people were killed and hundreds of people injured. And I said at the time, why didn't they do anything to stop it? They obviously had the intelligence, enough intelligence, accurate intelligence to know it was going to happen. They did nothing to stop it. And the U.S. government is doing nothing to stop the chance for terror. It just kills me. We had a 9/11 commission in which George W. Bush was dragged and the FBI was dragged for their failures to recognize the signs of terrorism, to do nothing to stop the terrorist attack that took down Twin Towers, had a plane landed to the Pentagon and in a field in Shanksville. And right now we've got the same terrorist ideology threatening this country. The FBI is looking the other way when they know terrorist attacks are imminent. What? Of course I'm having nightmares. Aren't you, Sesame Broccolini? Shouldn't every American?
Well, every American certainly, yes, should be prepared for either violence on an individual level or something much bigger and much more concerning. I mean, this is a heightened threat environment, I guess, to say the least. And I did see that clip, by the way, with Christopher Wray. And I do – if I recall correctly, he said that they don't monitor protests, but they will look at individuals or certain groups.
Right.
Which, just so to be clear, you are admitting you'll go after –
how do you look into the group?
Well, here's the thing.
How do you look into groups if you're not monitoring? What are you doing?
Exactly. But also – are you going after pro-lifers then? Is that a tacit admission that you'll individually go after pro-lifers or Catholics or rowdy parents at school board meetings that don't like the LGBTQ agenda? That's what it sounds like. So I'm just incidentally.
These, why aren't they there? These are Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists out there at these protests.
Yeah.
Where's the FBI?
Yeah.
The only people handling business. Yeah. No, the only people handling business are was down at University of Texas,
in
I
Austin,
think UT.
Yeah.
In Austin. Mm-hmm. We had dudes in like riot gear. That was not regular popo that showed up today hauling these kids off.
I think
off.
That was the National Guard actually. I think might have, I don't called them
yeah,
in.
might have been the National Guard that came and hauled some people off. Now, Florida Governor DeSantis came out and said, you know, we're going to show you the door. If you are here and you're doing this on college campuses and you are here on a student visa, you're going to be deported. Well, where's his people, though, out there? Well, first of all, they're not happening in colleges in Florida. But you've got to have, you can't say we don't monitor, but we're following groups. Well, how are you following groups if you're not monitoring? They obviously are monitoring if they know that that there was a terrorist attack that was going to happen in Moscow, and it did. Now they know that there's a terrorist attack that's going to happen here, like the one that happened in Moscow. So they're monitoring somebody. They're just not doing anything to stop it. I think might be a good time to, I think this is a good time to take a break, because when we come back, I want to play some of the lamestream media. And I had a flashback today of the Baltimore governor after all the violent protest in, do you remember Sesame Broccolini, all the violent protest in Baltimore after Freddie Gray?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And the Baltimore mayor came out and said, we've got to give them a safe space to protest, right? As they were burning down, businesses owned by Asian Americans. Well, we had a similar comment made today on CNN. And then I also want to play comments by Benjamin Netanyahu and what he had to say today, which was really chilling. So we're going to get into that when we come back. This is The Andrea Kay Show on AM 1170, FM 96.1, and streaming all over the world.
Andrea Kay, telling you like it is, while eating a donut, too. It's the Andrea Kay Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. Continuing to update you guys on what's happening with college campuses across the country. I got a text message from somebody whose husband is Jewish, and she's just can't even believe that this is where we're at in this country. And it just goes to show that we did all the wrong things after 9/11, all the wrong things, from importing this ideology through refugee programs to the fact that every time there was an Islamic terrorist attack, the first thing that would happen would be somebody from CARE would be at the microphone threatening against Islamophobia. The word Islamophobia should have never been entered into our lexicon and into the minds of anybody. It wasn't a bunch of Swedes who took down the Twin Towers. And here we are. And one of the things I mentioned was I've got a clip to play from one of the legacy media today as they are justifying these protests. And it reminded me of the Summer of Love. Actually, I don't think it was the Summer of Love, because the Freddie Gray incident in Baltimore was on the heels of the Michael Brown situation. It was before the summer of Black Lives Matter. It was one of the things that launched the Black Lives Matter movement. And you may not remember the Freddie Gray story, but what's important to remember is that the mayor of Baltimore came out as there was just like Ferguson, Missouri, there was violent protest and businesses being burned down and owners being beaten up, that the mayor of Baltimore came out and said that they needed a safe place, a safe space to protest. That these were justified. Just like, I'm not sure if you heard, but is it the president of Colombia, is somebody that said that the 9/11 attacks and Islamic terrorism was a form of protest?
Yeah.
This is the ideology that we have going on here. So here is a clip from CNN where the person on here, which is a national and an alleged national security expert, saying that colleges have to allow space for these students to protest. Sesame, if you can play it.
And so colleges and universities have to do three things, and I'm pretty clear about this. One is they do have to allow space for students to protest. I said, you got to give them an outlet. The students are allowed to protest. This should not be a shock to anyone with teenagers or young adult children. They have strong feelings and they're passionate, because if you just immediately go to arrest, it's going to cause, I think, some of the what we're seeing on air, which is nothing's happening and then lots is happening. You want to give students space, as long as you're protecting students who want to go to classes, Jewish students, if they're targeted. The second is you have to have off ramps. You have to, in terms of these colleges and universities, you've got to give students rules about what they are and are not allowed to do. Maybe this happened at USC, but they have to be clear about, yes, you can protest. No, you can't block a building. And this is what's going to happen if you block
they
a building.
Be told.
And then third is, of course,
listen. I can't even listen anymore. Sorry if y'all wanted to hear. I can't even listen anymore than that. They've got to be told that they don't have, that they're not allowed to block a building. This is somebody who's supposed to be a national security expert. This is insane. Oh, don't rush to arrest him. You got to let him blow off steam. The same nonsense that we heard from a Baltimore mayor after Black people were burning down Asian-owned businesses. It's not justified. There's no issue. Oh, these are young people. There's never been a time in my life as politically as aware as I was where I ever protested in a manner that was violent, nor was I ever anti-Semitic, nor did I ever go and protest in a bigoted manner. It's disgusting. It's despicable. In fact, what it is reminiscent of Hitler's youth. It's also reminiscent of Mao's Red Guard, but sticking with the Hitler's youth, here is what Benjamin Netanyahu had to say today about what's happening on America's college campuses.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned, and condemned unequivocally. But that's not what happened. The response of several university presidents was shameful. Now, fortunately, state, local, federal officials, many of them have responded differently, but there has to be more. More has to be done. It has to be done not only because they attack Israel. That's bad enough. Not only because they want to kill Jews wherever they are, that's bad enough. It's also, when you listen to them, it's also because they say not only death to Israel, death to the Jews, but death to America. And this tells us that there's an anti-Semitic surge here that has terrible consequences. We see this exponential rise of anti-Semitism throughout America and throughout Western societies as Israel tries to defend itself against genocidal terrorists who hide behind civilians. Yet it is Israel that is falsely accused of genocide, Israel that is falsely accused of starvation and all sundry war crimes.
Yeah, exactly. There's clips all over the place of these young students being asked questions, and they have no idea what the hell is going on here. And yet they're out in the streets supporting terrorism, supporting lies against Israel, joining a movement led by terrorists, chanting in New York and all over the place, death to America, long live Hamas. This is an organized movement, by the way. And I guarantee you, that if any of these students were out there against transgenderism, against gay marriage, against gay people, would they be allowed to pitch tents and refuse to leave? Do you think they would be, Sesame? You think that would be allowed?
No, not at all. Not even close. No, there's a clear, again, it's not a double standard. It's a new hierarchy of power with the most radical militant progressives at the top of it. So people need to understand that we're not witnessing a double standard. This is not that mild. This is much bigger than that. There's a new power structure being imposed upon the rest of civil society. They're weaponizing every American space and every American institution for their own bidding. And to watch these, I mean, think about it. These kids are paying, what, $70,000 a year for now online classes?
Well, we are.
Because
well,
the,
we are, yes, as the taxpayers.
Yes, because the administration refuses, though, to shut this down or to arrest kids for doing things that maybe they're criminal, maybe they're not, but they're certainly not defensible.
It, like, it should be a violation. It should be against their code of conduct.
Yes,
when
yes.
they are out there chanting death to America, quite frankly, it's against – there is a civil code. It is against the law in the United States of America to join forces and to support an organization that's been declared a terrorist organization like Hamas. It's illegal what they're doing. And it would certainly be considered a violation of their code of conduct if it was anti-LGBT. But because it's anti-American, because they're chanting death to America, and because they're chanting death to Israel and long live Hamas, mm-hmm. It's acceptable. Because the Democrat Party is anti-Israel, they're anti-Semitic, and they're anti-American. And that's what's going on here. When we come back, we're going to shift gears. Because one of the fronts in the war against America is in the courtrooms, and we've got some breaking news today happening in the courtroom involving Judge Cannon, as well as in New York, and Tom DeBacaro will join us next.
Andrea Kay, bringing the world a much-needed reality check. You're listening to The Andrea Kay Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. Hopefully you're enjoying your hump day so far. Glad you're with us to get over the hump. Before the break and at the open of the show, we talked about, gave updates on the chaos. It's even worse than chaos. It's absolutely despicable, the rise of Islamic terror ideology and threats taking place on our college campuses that should disturb everybody. And if you miss any part of what we talked about, including Benjamin Netanyahu's comments, be sure to download the podcast wherever you get your pods. We're going to shift gears because the war against America and the anti-Americanism is playing out in courtrooms. One of the greatest weapons the left has, these commies, is the courts and the Department of Justice. And fortunately for Trump, at least in one of the courtrooms, we have a judge that has decided, I think she should have dismissed the case so far, Judge Cannon, but at least she's gone on a purge of unsealing some documents that were quite revealing today. And so I reached out to my good friend and yours, famed attorney Tom DeBacaro, political commentator and book author, to come on and discuss. And he joins me now. Hello, my dear.
Hey, great to be on. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it sounds great to be on. Your enthusiasm shocks me. Try to contain it, will you?
I'll do my best. It's unlikely.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple things that were unsealed today is that it is in writing, as you can see, that I'm trying to read from Julie Kelly right now, and I picked up a little bit of sound. I'll just paraphrase. Judge Cannon unsealed a document showing that an attorney was threatened to not get a position if he didn't go along with flipping on Trump. And I think his name was Stanley. Well, I don't know that it matters what his name was. That in and of itself is pretty shocking. Your thoughts on that? Stanley Woodward is his name.
First of all, I want to say that Judge Cannon is getting trashed on MSNBC and the rest, so she must be doing something pretty correct. I mean, to me, look, we have four cases that when Trump says being orchestrated out of the DOJ in Washington, it's just simply correct. It is staggering to think that the American system is not, even on the left, isn't appalled by the fact that there is a DOJ prosecutor on loan to Alvin Bragg. What more coordination possibly could there be? Okay, you have in Atlanta, they were where? They had gone to the White House several times. I mean, this is so on its face now. And what you describe is just, these are just more bricks in the wall of injustice. And are Americans going to vote in November to change this or not? Because if they don't, then the loss of their republic, they will have participated in the process.
Something this is shocking to me, and we don't have time to go into all the weeds, but when you see that somebody was threatened to have his judicial nomination removed from him if he didn't flip on Trump, there's documentation that she released today, Judge Cannon released, that shows the attempts to cover up the coordination that took place with Jack Smith in the White House to coordinate a cover-up of I'm trying to think of how to describe
look,
it.
Look at this is just very similar to J6. What did they do? They have this committee that only puts in only has a ridiculous Republicans on it, and then blacks out the exonerating information. This is now standard fare. This is exactly like that.
And what I want to know is, why would Judge Cannon, with this documentation that there was that there's documentation that Special Counsel Jack Smith had coordinated with the White House to use this case for the purpose of, quote, taking down Trump? We see that someone was threatened to not get their judicial nomination if they didn't get their client to flip on Trump. We see that there was also issues with NARA where they were trying to go after documents that were, you know, like obviously personal stuff. Why would just the thing about the coordination with the White House alone, when they state that they're not going after somebody on the basis of probable cause, but on the basis of a political cause, why would Judge Cannon not dismiss this case?
So, you know, it's funny that you asked me that question, because I'm having lunch tomorrow with a former federal prosecutor. And one of the things that one of the reasons I'm doing this is to get those kind of questions answered. I have not understood what, you know, Letitia James, I'm running to get Trump. Alvin Bragg, I'm running to get Trump. Why isn't the Fourth Amendment more prominent in the national discussion right now on those issues? I don't understand why it isn't. I mean, I've said on your show before, one of the reasons we exist as a country is because of Bill of Attainders and King George doing similar things. So give me a pass. I'm going to have this lunch, and maybe I can, next time I'm on, talk more intelligently about this, but I don't get it because I've been saying it for months.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, I don't know that this former federal prosecutor is going to give you any additional, you know, legal insight. I think it's maybe a rhetorical question that, you know, when it comes to the legal community has become by and large in many ways corrupt. And for a variety of reasons, I think that, our political system, our government is primarily run by attorneys. It's adversarial. It's by nature, they become adept at using the law to get to further an agenda versus a proper legal outcome. I think that so many of our legal institutions and law schools are just churning out socialist soldiers for the state who are trained to interpret the law in a way that furthers leftism. I think that once people get to a certain level in their legal career, they're worried about how they're going to be perceived more than they're worried about the law in the Constitution. And we see that with Amy Coney Barrett. When I saw her in the nomination process, she was describing how she twists herself into a pretzel to try to avoid the appearance of having her personal point of view injected. But your personal point of view was supposed to be one as an originalist. That's what the job is. And so basically you're going out of your way by going out of her way to prove that she's not catering to a particular ideology. She's catering to the left. I don't know if that sounded twisted, but you know, basically,
well, first of all, I'm only concerned about the law. I'm only going to dispute your characterization that it's becoming. Look, I cover this in my book, The Coming Out, The Lessons of the American Civilization. Big government, two historical dynamics. Power centralizes over time, and those in power want to keep the power they have. And that gets worse and worse as government grows larger. And so this system, which is corrupting the judicial process, look, Jefferson was deathly afraid of the federal judicial system because he said it would just pull in power and you know, become too powerful when it shouldn't be that powerful at all. So these are all dynamics going together here. And this is what big government is like. It's all big government is corrupt, not necessarily every person in it, not necessarily every president, but it becomes corrupted because power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Lord Acton. This is all these familiar things that we're facing that you're describing, and judges are apparently not immune to it, because how on earth can you decide that you're not conflicted in a case when you put out a gag order that says, don't talk about my daughter?
Yeah.
Even though how is it humanly possible? How idiotic can a judge be to say that Michael Cohen gets to say whatever he wants and the jury hears it outside the courtroom, but President Trump can't?
Yeah.
I mean, how
and his comments had to do with the conflict of interest with the judge and with his family's profiting off of the persecution of Donald Trump. Look, our Department of Injustice is something that would make Stalin green with envy, and Trump alone is not going to save this. And this situation here, he's going to need to be surrounded by a whole lot of outside of Washington, D.C. people willing to step in and pink slip a whole lot of people and demolish and tear apart brick by brick certain institutions. And I just otherwise, I don't know that this country can be saved in the long run. All right, Tom DeBaccaro, can't wait till your next book is out. Thank you for being here. Love the enthusiasm, my dude.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye. All right, and you guys stick around because we got final segment of hour one coming up. Joe Biden versus the teleprompter. The prompter won.
AK, Dynamite in a Dress, or just Andrea K, whatever you call her, she's on The Answer San Diego.
You guys, I was so excited when I came home today because there was a package from FedEx. I got my three jars because I ordered a package so I could get a better deal. I got my three jars of face cream from Magic Dicol. My Metasomer face cream, which has the same ingredient in it that's in the spray that just has renewed my energy, taken away all the pain that I was struggling with for so long, dealt with my chronic sinusitis. I have not had, being on antibiotics is terrible. I was on taking a Z-Pak or on Augmentin or some kind of antibiotic at least three times a year to deal with sinus infections. That what that did to my body is so terrible, and I'm off of it now. And then on top of it, there's a cream version of it that my face just absolutely loves, and it just feels so good to put it on. So I'm super excited that I got my shipment in, paid for by myself. Because by the way, I buy these products myself. So when I tell you that they work, when I tell you they're amazing, it's legit coming from my heart. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/AK. All right. I saw something this afternoon I need y'all's opinion on. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but I'm coming up the 5 Sesame Broccolini, and I look over and I see a car on the side of the road, hood up. Not sure why the hood was up, because they were dealing with the tire. And I don't even know what kind of car it was. Doesn't matter. But I see 3 young adults there looking like they're late 20s, 2 dudes and a woman. Guess which one of the 3 was down on the ground with the car lifted up and trying to take the tire off? Any ideas, Sesame? It was the woman. I'm just gonna end the agony. The girl was on her knees on the concrete on the side of the road.
Wow.
With the big tire iron thing, taking the lug nuts off the tire.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the story behind it here, but even if these dudes didn't know how to replace a tire, which, by the way, every young adult, when you get your driver's license, you need to be taught how to change a tire. Even if you've got AAA, because you could be in a situation to where AAA can't get there for a long time and you're in a neighborhood, you need to get out of there. But it's just good policy to know how to change a tire. So even if, I mean, she could walk them through it. If they didn't know how, this is where we're at in this country, where young men are standing there on the side of a busy freeway, because the 5 is not exactly a dirt road out in the boondocks. And they're standing there watching her change a tire. I trust Sesame Broccolini that would not be happening if you had been one of the passengers.
What? No, absolutely not. That's ridiculous.
Thank you.
This is a civil society. We have rules and codes of conduct, and to subject, I mean, that's just disrespectful to the lady, and it's also embarrassing for you as the man. I mean, really, that's just sad. I mean, come on, man, figure it out. It's really not that difficult. YouTube video, call somebody, have her walk you through it. There's 1.5 million ways to handle it, and that's not one of the ways that you should. I mean, this is just, it's just so basic. It's like, who raised you? Did no one show you how to be a real man?
But, and why was she doing it? You think I would have done that, even if I had known how? I'd be like, nah, I'm going to call and get me an Uber. Even if it was my car, I'd have been like, I'm out. If you're not going to replace this tire, bye. No way I would have done it. So I blame her too. This is what the feminist movement has done to women. They actually think that it's appropriate for them to get down on their knees on the concrete and replace a tire on the side of a freeway. What is wrong with her? She's as dumb as the dudes. That's just crazy. She needs to be put back to factory settings, just like the car needs to with a new tire. Okay. Factory setting is dudes kill the bugs. They replace the tires, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else do they do? They do the yard work.
We can take out the garbage.
They take out the garbage, right? What else are some of the things men supposed to do?
Clean the gutters. You know, stuff like that. Clean the pool if you got one. Stuff like that. Sweep the driveway, you know, so it looks nice.
Yeah. Now, I used to love to do – one of the things I used to love to do when I used to love to go wash the cars out in the – you know, because that used to be something kids would do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I don't know if your generation has ever washed a car.
We
did not have drive-through car washes when I grew up, okay? It was considered a fun thing to do to go out in the driveway on a sunny, beautiful day with a bucket of water and some soap and a big old sponge and wash the car. And then you'd play with the hose and you'd squirt each other with the hose. That was like a fun thing to do. I like to mow the lawn. And by the way, we'd give a few extra bucks from our parents to do it. Crazy, crazy. All right, let's have a little fun at Biden's expense, shall we? Email me at andreakshow.com. I want to know what y'all think. If there's any of you out there that think, and I was never one of these women, it was like, let me show the men that I can do what men can do. No. No, I'm not interested in doing what there's things that, that men need to do. That, you know, just like women do the breastfeeding, there's some things that men need to be doing that women don't do. But if you guys disagree with me, email me, AndreaKShow.com. All right. Sesame, I don't know if you've heard this clip. Sesame and I both have a lot of experience reading from a teleprompter. And what a lot of people don't realize maybe about who've never read from a teleprompter is oftentimes, but in the middle of the script you're supposed to read are cues. And you, when you know how to read a prompter, you're trained to not read, take graphic or whatever. So here is Joe Biden reading more than what he should have read today on the teleprompter.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. Four more years. Four more years.
He was supposed to pause while they chanted four more years. And he read four more years. Pause. But the chance of four more years at his rallies, that's just so organic, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Those people are definitely not being paid. I repeat, they are not being paid.
The 20 people at the rallies chanting four more years. Oh, hilarious. And then the look on his face is even better because he's looking over and he's kind of squinting like, and he's not sure if he should read it. Four more years. Pause. I might make Joe Biden my nominee today of Hero of the Week just for making me giggle because I just so appreciate this kind of stuff. All right. And I need the laugh today after the nightmare I had last night of being in an elevator that suddenly started going up like a rocket and shot out the top of a building. It was incredibly frightening. Kind of like at the end of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original version, I've never seen the second, and the thing goes out the ceiling and they float around, you know, and that's when Charlie finds out he's inheriting the whole, you know, chocolate factory. No, this wasn't that good dream. This was a nightmare. All right. We come back. Hour two of Hump Day, Andrea K. Show. Stay with us.